In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The single most important moment in all of human history was truly and unbelievably small. From the view of space, it could not be seen, not even close. It would take a high-powered telescope to view it. From the purview of time, the event was just as minuscule. 6 hours out of over 52 million of created history is but a pittance. The event was not seen by millions across the globe. It did not cause any worldwide physical changes to the planet, as did the great flood of old. Rather, it was witnessed by a select few, no more than a few hundred people. And it happened in a few square feet of space, in one of these smallest, most insignificant countries in the world at that time. The speck of time and of space that changed everything was and is Christ and Him crucified. St. Paul found himself in the midst of a rapidly changing world for its time. Numerous systems of thinking were gaining popularity throughout the modern world, from the philosophers in Greece to the more mystical thinking of the Eastern sages. All could find a home in a city center open for business. In this wide mix of thinking and advancements were the people of Corinth. As the newly found Christian church in the city, many Christians were not quickly letting go of their old lives and of their old ways of thinking and of acting. St. Paul knew very well the abilities of many to speak eloquently and to captivate audiences with entertaining stories and embellished ideas. With so much noise all around the Corinthian church, St. Paul knew the one note of sound needed for the young church. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Apostle Paul took the Corinthian Christians from their lives of chaotic living and intentionally focused them on the one thing needful, the very thing we are gathered here this night to remember: Christ and His cross. When it comes to eternal life, to salvation, to the very forgiveness of sins, nothing else matters. Everything else is nothing. Christ and Him crucified is everything. Not by chance, either. This was God's design for salvation. It was His eternal plan to bring salvation and redemption to a fallen race, to our fallen race. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for all humanity was completely riding on Jesus, on His suffering and His death upon the cross. For Jesus truly is the only path to the Father. And that is because Christ and he alone has suffered for all mankind for their sins on the cross. Some doubters of Jesus and of the Christian faith have argued that the cross was not necessary. They argue that God, in his all-powerful nature, if he was truly loving, would simply forgive sin. Such a crucifixion is not necessary. And some then have argued that they could never honor a loved one by elevating the very means of their death. How can you wear a cross around your neck, they say. Truly, if that is all it was, the instrument of Jesus' painful death and of his disgrace, then such a tribute would be foolish. That is precisely what the unbelieving world cannot understand. They cannot understand because they cannot see. The true meaning of Jesus crucified is hidden from the eyes of unbelief. Those with hardened hearts of sin cannot believe and cannot receive. Only those with hearts turned back to flesh, humbled by their own corruption, can rightly believe in Jesus and in his saving work upon the cross. St. Paul encountered this also within the context of Corinth in Greece. Wisdom and knowledge around him was growing rampantly, and yet such wisdom and such knowledge could not grasp the word of the cross. The word of the cross, Paul writes, is folly to those who are perishing. He goes on to write, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, Paul writes, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the foolishness of God, Paul writes, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, the message of the cross is a message of weakness. It is the message of the only true God suffering and dying at the hands of his enemy. Naked, beaten, mocked, crucified. For all the world to see, that is weak, and it is foolish. In the eyes of the world, in the world's wisdom, Christ and him crucified is folly. It is defeat. That is precisely the point. That is why this day is remembered by the church, going all the way back to the 5th century when it finally took on a life of its own. Those in the Christian church in the past and in the present, you, the baptized saints of God, you realize your need for Christ. You know your own sinfulness. You understand John's opening words to his gospel that we are darkness. The darkness into which Christ Jesus, the light, has come. Our sinfulness is the very reason for God taking on mortal flesh, bearing our sins, and being our Savior. You know your heart. You know your mind. You know your soul, your very being, is plagued by sin. You can only fool yourself for so long. And you know that you can offer nothing to God in your sinful condition that would make Him love you more and hate you less. You are utterly helpless to help yourself. You are totally hopeless to save yourself. Now that is counter to the message of this world. That was the case in St. Paul's day as well. And it is still the case today. For you are constantly barraged with messages of positive thinking, of positive attitudes. You love the idea of a total makeover and a complete overhaul. The world's message to you is that the weak, the broken, dies off. The bad gets left behind. The world teaches you that only the strong survive. And that the world is actually then, through that process, getting better. The thought is nice. But the reality that is nicely dunked below the surface quickly reemerges, more dire than before. Diseases of body and of mind come back into view. Stories of death and destruction fill your phone and computer screens. Wars and rumors of wars occupy your ears. Famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and floods continue right alongside all of that positive attitude that you try to muster. All of those things seek to occupy your senses, your mind, your time. Gadgets, clothing, property, vehicles, friends, church, and more. Vie for your time, your talents, your energy. It is all so demanding. It is all so overwhelming. It is stressful. And it is debilitating. None of it can save. Nothing the world can offer you in all of its infinite opportunities and its countless goods can make you live forever. The world itself has no recourse whatsoever to remove the punishment and the guilt of your sin. Christ and Him alone can save you, can give you eternal life, can forgive you all your sin. Yes, the word of the cross is folly to the world. It is a message of weakness, but it is God's message of weakness. And it is His word of the cross. And His foolishness is wiser than men. His weakness is stronger than men. For God's word, His foolishness, His weakness gives you Jesus, the one crucified for you. Truly then, the cross of Jesus is the power of God. Christ and Him crucified is life, and it is salvation. It is the one moment in time and the one spot in space that has changed everything. Christ and Him crucified is your everything, your all, now and forevermore. Amen.